Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. Well, we're here in the studio today, and I think we have some pretty darn interesting stuff to talk about. Terry, where do we start?
Well, we're going to start in a very different, dark, dingy place.
Ew, ick.
Yeah, I know.
You find those.
That's where I work.
Already then.
So, when I'm not doing doggy stuff, my job is to do cybercrime, computer security, corporate espionage investigations, very different from my dog world.
Just a little.
And I've, in the last week or 10 days, I've run across some things that have caught my attention.
And they were online.
They were online, and I don't have a really good term for them, but I've been just calling them the anti-animal rescue group type undercurrent.
Right.
It's almost an attack, and in my mind, it is an attack, but I won't use that word.
Right.
The first thing that I saw was right after Michael Vick had signed with the Eagles, there was a lot of anti-Michael Vick stuff,
Right.
and we certainly have an opinion, and we voiced that opinion on that. But what I saw was what I would classify as counter-espionage, because it was people claiming to be, well, hijacking tweets basically, and putting pro-Michael Vick links in where it used to be other ones, so it looked like Bark Radio said something positive about it,
Oh
but it was
my, no.
exactly. But they were doing it to a lot of anybody that spoke out against Michael Vick was getting hijacked, retweeted in a way that looked like they were supportive, and it was very interesting.
This blows my mind, you guys, because Terry's way more up on, the technology piece than I am, and obviously the forensic piece since it's his job. But I didn't know you could hijack, or I didn't have thought of anybody hijacking a tweet on Twitter. So they copy it, and then they put their own links in, and it looks like it's from Bark
Right.
Radio.
And it's not, I mean, it's probably a manual process, I would guess, but this particular individual did it so many that it almost looks automated.
Wow.
And I know there are some security flaws in Twitter, so it could have been done automated in such a way, but it was, yes, it was taking anything that was anti-Vic, respinning it to look like it was
Provic.
that pro-Vic to a pro-Vic link. And anybody that was normally speaking out was doing this. So that was really interesting. And I saw, to me, that's a calculated attack. That's a counter move in a corporate
Absolutely.
espionage environment. So to me, it seemed like a professional action.
So what I like is having this knowledge, thanks to Terry, and it's just a warning to our listeners that this can happen to you. Keep an eye on the tweets that you put out there. So you were able to what? Block these folks from Bark Radio's
Right.
Twitter site.
You can block individuals, and you can block them from receiving your, not from our website, but you can block them from receiving your tweets.
Right.
So if they didn't see what we were tweeting, they couldn't hijack it.
Okay.
And we didn't, I don't follow them. I didn't go back to even look them
Right.
up to see, but
Right.
because I put a block specifically on that ID. Now they could start a new ID and they could
Sure.
do that. I haven't seen it, so it
But
looked
then
like a once and done.
Terry monitors all of our Twitter traffic,
Right.
and that's one of the reasons why. So just be aware, folks, and protect what you believe in. That's our key thing is and you also, Terry, what did you do to let folks know that this had been
Well, I
happening?
shot that out to all of our followers. So we've got
Okay.
a couple thousand people that follow us, and I sent that out, say, look, this is what's going on. It's hard to do in 140 characters, but
Right.
be aware that this is what the issue is.
And that we are not suddenly pro-Vic.
Yeah.
We're trying not to go there because this is not going to be an episode about him. Okay.
So then there's another thing. So that was step one. That was the first time I really noticed this. And that was, again, that I think was a little bit more polished. That seemed like a professional type of move, the way it was
Right.
done. Second one, maybe less professional, but still pretty organized. I won't name the organization, but there's a rescue group that does a lot of animal transport. So they help arrange transportation and rescues between different rescue groups, different states, different
Right.
shelters. And it's a small group. It's clearly a nonprofit group. It's really about eight or nine people. And the president of the nonprofit received a message, an email message. They are in Rhode Island, and this message supposedly came from the Department of Agriculture in Massachusetts, and stating that they could not post their looking for transport help messages to Craigslist any longer because of a particular law in Massachusetts, and they would be fined $200 per dog that is listed in the posting. So I saw her link. She was clearly panicked about
right.
this because they don't have a lot of money anyway. I contacted them. We had some discussions. There was one individual in her group that really just wanted to argue with me, but
she knew not what he was getting into, but you know, never mind.
she was adamant it was real, and I was adamant it's not real because you're in a different state,
right?
And they don't transport through Mass or to Mass anyway. So nothing
bogus.
Applies. It was a any state, local, or federal government will not notify you by email, ever.
There
ever.
You go.
It will come via United States Postal Service, often certified, but doesn't have to be, but it will always be a physical letter. It gets more. So then all this is going on. She received a phone call from this individual who claimed to be, you know, John Smith, I'm with the Department of Agriculture, blah, 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 and here's what's going on. They had a conversation around this. He called on a Friday night.
That okay. should be one right there.
Hello.
Big red light. Government worker, Friday night.
Yeah, that's not going to be very probable,
right.
if even possible.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
And again, and what I asked them to do, I said, look, you know, this is the investigations I do, these types of things all the time. Send me this information. I gave them a list of what I wanted. I'll do the investigation. I'm not charging you anything.
Right.
They wanted to argue about it. So I didn't do the investigation.
Right.
I said, I stand by it. This is fake. This is why. Here's a laundry list of what doesn't make sense in this.
Right.
If you ever want me to investigate this, fine. Otherwise, you know, if you're going to send checks, send me some too, because this guy is just taking your money.
Right.
You know, I suspect that the email was coming from a forged email address. They said it looked real. Well, it's easy to fake email. That's
right.
the easiest thing in the world.
And it's done all the time.
All the time. And the really sad part about this is that it may end up shutting this group down, who does a lot of good in arranging transports, saving a lot of animals. And that's why I say this is sort of an anti-rescue group thing. It's an underlying current. Clearly, they've crossed somebody's path that they pissed off.
Absolutely.
It doesn't make sense. And I even went so far as to, I've got different sites where I look for animal laws. There's nothing listed at Cambridge. There's nothing listed at Animal Law. It's an LLC that has all the listings by state.
Right.
Nothing listed in either one of those things for animal laws on transport through the state, with the exception of if you're transporting for a pet shop.
Right.
Or if it's a dog racing transport. So there's
really?
Laws around those on transport through the state.
Okay.
And ways you have to, not that you can't do it, just the ways you have to do it.
But nothing on rescue groups transporting
nope.
dogs.
And you can't enforce that. And why only Craigslist? So here's the other rub with this, is they were specific that they couldn't post to Craigslist. Well, first of all, the Craigslist server for Massachusetts, it doesn't exist in Massachusetts. It's in California. So it's under California law, not Massachusetts law. If it's Craigslist, it should also be Twitter. It should also be Facebook.
Right.
It should be any online service, and there's a million different ones out there.
Right.
Because you can't control it. That's like China trying to control the internet browsing of their country.
Right.
They can do it because they border off the whole thing. Massachusetts isn't blocking things just for Massachusetts.
Right.
It just, I'm sorry, that's kind of a ramble, but it doesn't make sense. The pieces don't fit. You've got Volkswagens and Apples and Kumquats, and it doesn't fit.
And, you know, this is such valuable information, folks, because it doesn't just have to do with dogs. It's the kind of thing that can happen online that the average individual would not have a clue to look at and question.
Right.
But everything Terry just told you is correct and accurate, and just, again, be wary. And there are so many scenarios where emails will not be sent to you by not just government agencies, but by a lot of folks. You
right.
know, so look at any email that supposedly is from an organization or a company that you did not contact with a question mark. Is it real?
Right.
And never, ever, by the way, provide personal information through emails.
And that's what I told them. This message that you received is no more real than the message you got from Nigeria about an inheritance, or the European lotto that you won, or the Microsoft lotto that you won. It's all spam. It's crap.
Right.
Email, again, I'll emphasize this, is very, very, very easy to fake. And I can send an email that looks like I'm anybody at any place with almost no effort, because it's just a little tiny bit of knowledge that you need to do it to make it happen.
So just be fortunate, guys. We've got Terry, the computer geek here. So heed our warnings. Keep yourself informed.
Right.
And if you question something, you know, especially if it has anything to do with anything we do, dogs, bark radio, blah, blah, pop us an email.
Yeah, shoot us a message.
Yeah.
You know, I can't investigate every possible case out there, but there are cases where clearly I think that I can add some value.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame to shut down a good rescue organization over something fictitious, you know, and it's probably some goober, you know, that's doing it. And I just hated that. That's what bugged me the most. So.
Okay, well, anyway, good stuff, Terry.
So moving on, we have a story that I read yesterday which pissed me off. And sometimes that happens. But and the term that they were using is called canine disarming.
What the bloody heck is that?
It's a dental procedure where it cuts the canine teeth off so they're flat with the other teeth. So if you have a dog that bites, it doesn't have the same tearing ability. I don't think it's being done a lot yet. But what in this particular story, the woman whose name is Diane Krieger, and she has a dog that's an American Eskimo, so a medium-sized dog.
Right.
That had a problem with biting. So this little white fluffy dog had a problem with biting, she listed the events that she went through. So, and I'll just say up front, this is not a dog problem, this is a human problem. She couldn't train the dog, and the dog wouldn't listen to her. Bottom line. So I don't care what the hell she did or didn't do. Sorry. What the heck she did or didn't do. But it's not... This is extreme. So she went... The first thing she did is she went to PetSmart to take class. And, I have an opinion about PetSmart classes. I think that it's a good place if the dog is really easy to do. I think if it's a complicated train, the dog has problems, behavioral issues, it's not the right environment for it. You need to go to a different type of trainer.
Just a little bit distracting in PetSmarts.
Little bit, yeah. And it's not against the trainers or the company or anything.
Right.
It's the environment is too much moving on, too many other distractions outside the classroom. And if the dog really has a problem, then that person it may not be qualified to go to the next level. You need a more advanced trainer.
Right.
So her solution was, and she was, I didn't see this show, but she actually had done a thing with Cesar Millan on television. And she said the dog was great for the first day, and then it wouldn't listen to her anymore. Well, honey, that's your problem. That dog is still the dog, and it's still, if it was behaving with one person, it can behave with another person. This is your issue. So then she proceeded to buy DVDs and books and try to do this on her own, and her final solution was to find a canine dentist that would laser cut the top of those teeth off so that it would do less damage to the dog. Although before finding that, her choice was going to be to euthanize the dog because it was too...
Are you kidding me?
No, she says that in the article.
Okay, I'm saying it. Man, you so can't fix stupid. All right, my turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did I comment?
Rant.
Okay, here's the drill, people. Okay, training, behavior consultation. There are so many things this woman could have done, and... very possibly have eliminated the biting. Now, understand, I have not read the article, so I don't know all the detail, but you can hire a private trainer and someone who can evaluate the behavior issues that you're having with your dog. They can come to your home, they can see how you live, they can watch you interact with your dog. When I do a behavior modification visit, I'm there, I'm evaluating. I can usually see what's going on, why, and figure out how we can fix it. If it's above and beyond my capability, because I'm a dog trainer and I'm not a behaviorist, if it's above and beyond my ability, I recommend a behaviorist. And they're everywhere these days, and they're trained. They can help individuals get past negative behavior. I can't believe this woman's woman would have had this dog put down.
If, a lot of stupid out there.
Oh, man.
A lot of stupid.
Do you know how old the dog is?
Six. Excuse me, 6 years old.
Okay, so, and here we go back, you know, go back in time. If you have any sense at all, you will, in the first few months a dog is in your home, whether it's a puppy, a rescue, whatever it is, you need to get some obedience training for you and the dog. And it can be classroom, it can be private in your home training, it can be board and train, it can be a lot of different versions of it. But the big thing that people don't seem to understand is the investment in time and money that you put into your dog with training, say within the first 6 months that they're in your home, is going to pay off for a lifetime. Especially puppies, what they learn up to 6 months, they will have for the rest of their lives, good or bad. And if you want to get rid of the bad, you have to untrain it. So, and that dog sounds like it never learned bite inhibition,
right,
and that needed to be taught.
Right. And the interviewer actually asked about a behaviorist, and she'd never brought one in. She wasn't familiar with that. And nobody ever told her to bring a behaviorist in. Hello.
Well,
it's not like you're trying to find a three-legged alien somewhere.
But here's the thing, Terry. What I do believe is that a lot of civilians, non-dog professionals, really don't know that dog behaviorists exist. It's fairly new within the last decade. It started becoming popular. I think perhaps the timing was because of positive dog training and all the scientific studies and that sort of thing, where it became something that could be learned and could be scientifically learned, the behavior piece. So what we may do, if I can talk her into it, I know a really good behaviorist here in town. I'd like to interview her at some point so she can help folks understand the kinds of things she can do for them and other behaviorists can do for them.
I think it'd be a great interview because clearly all the people she worked with and talked with never brought that up. And
that's a shame. Really.
It really is a shame. And the thing is the dog's still biting. It's just not doing any damage. And her, or doing less damage. And that was the thing. Even before they did the surgery, when the dog bit, she said that she's actually had cats bite and do more damage than the dog was doing. So then it doesn't seem like an extreme case.
Doesn't sound like it.
But it was very specific, too. The dog was aggressive to men on her property. So I don't know where the dog came from. Don't have any of that history in the article.
Oh, man. Behavior consult.
Yeah. Exactly. So I was pissed. I don't want to see this to be a trend, cutting off the canine teeth.
No.
Now, at least they didn't pull them, which can be worse. Than
right.
Because they did a laser cut, and they put, sedated the dog, and it was humanely done, but
it's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
No.
It's so extreme, and it hasn't solved anything for her other than there's no puncture marks. Dogs
right.
still bites,
right.
But there's no puncture marks.
So guys, training, behaviorists, it's all good. Don't cut your dog's teeth off. That's just wrong. Okay.
So now we can do events.
Oh, now we can do events. We're going to be places, you guys, and we'd love to see you and talk to you. So Terry's got the list. Where are we going to be first in September?
Well, September 15th, we are going to be at the U of R Spiders versus VCU soccer game, and we're going to be there with Luke and Hudson and Murphy from Two Dogs, 2,000 Miles, and with Fetch a Cure.
This is so cool, you guys. It happens that Luke and the boys, who are walking, by the way, from Austin to Boston to raise awareness for canine cancer. But they're going to be kind of in the neighborhood in September. They're going to be up in Leesburg. And then they're going to do a march into D.C. to, again, shine the light on canine cancer. But while they're in the neighborhood, which is like 100 miles away from here, they're going to come south and try to raise awareness in our area. So we're very much looking forward to meeting them finally, because we've never met Luke and the boys, even though we talk about them all the time.
Well, and talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
But we've never seen,
yeah.
We've never seen the other pictures.
So join us. We'll be at the entrance mm-hmm. of the soccer game. You can just go on U of R's, University of Richmond's website to get times and that sort of thing.
Right. Right. The game starts at 7.
And date again?
Is September 15th.
And that is a Tuesday.
Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah. We think that's Tuesday night. You can double-check your calendar. Next.
Well, then the next one, spinning into Luke again, is September 18th. We'll be up in Washington, D.C. for the March on Washington for the first annual, hopefully, Canine Cancer Caucus.
We had it was a challenge getting that alliteration. Yeah. So everybody remember it, CCC. But yeah, man, we want to see you there. We are all hooking up at Lady Bird Johnson Park at 10 o'clock. That's on a Friday morning. What is it, Terry, the 18th? 18th of September. If it's not blazing hot that day, we will be there with our dogs. Mm-hmm. Look for a couple of wild and crazy cattle dogs, especially Miss Suri. If you're lucky, you'll get to see her vertical lift. And,
or climb a tree.
Or climb a tree. And look for a big chocolate brown Labrador Retriever. That's my Murphy. So, and we'll be wearing Woof Bark Radio t-shirts. Yeah. So we'd love to talk to you. See you in D.C. Next
is September 26th. We will be at Bark in the Park.
Ooh, and that's a local event in the Richmond area, guys.
Yeah,
and
be good.
That's, oh crap.
That's 10 to 1.
And I forgot where.
I forgot where, too. We'll have to put that on the website because
I
didn't write
it down.
Run.
Deep Run? Is that
Could
right?
Could be Deep Run.
Yeah, it's at a local park. We'll let you know which one.
Yeah, when we figure that out, I didn't write that in the notes.
Yeah.
And then the last Wednesday of September, so September 30th, 7 to 9, we will be at the Cold Stone Creamery on Libby Avenue. And we'll be scooping ice cream for charity. We're going to, 15% of the proceeds of the sales, plus there'll be a donation bucket, will go to the CCI group.
Canine Companions for Independence is a national organization with a Richmond chapter, the Old Dominion chapter, and they train service dogs for folks with handicaps. They're a great group, and we love our local chapter. I'm a volunteer with them occasionally, and so they will indeed be our charity. Come and see us, and we will scoop your ice cream for you. 7 to 9 Cold Stone Creamery.
On Libby Avenue.
In Richmond.
And hopefully we're going to have, I'm going to talk to them about having a special Bark Radio ice cream treat. Thinking of calling it the dog pile, but...
So come, join us, have a dog pile. Later, guys.
That's right. Pick your pile, folks.